Hallelujah. Now see, just my personal opinion. Now when it's my opinion, I'll tell you. I see it as a mark of maturity for a spirit-filled church to have a moment of silence like that. And if the Lord is not speaking, then nobody speak. You know, there's so many many places where silence is pressure.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't used to silence. But you know, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And I think we had one of those. I mean, his presence was so thick, I could just feel it. But I kind of go along with our Pastor Dave, you know, Pastor Dave Roberson. You know, if he's not prophesying, I can't. You know, we only prophecy is when he's speaking. So I see it as a sign of maturity. There's so many churches that could not have happened. Okay. Well, when you've been at this as long as I have, there's so many teachings. You know, you have a moment here to exhort over the offering. Well, I have lots of teachings at my website about that type of thing. And Pastor Jim Martin, excuse me, Dr. Jim Martin. How many messages, 55 messages in that prosperity series? Something like, in that ball, 54?
44.
Oh, excuse me, 44. It's a bunch. And then you're supposed to come up here in 10 minutes, you know. So what I'm going to do, so this afternoon, of course, I was saying, okay, Lord, I just don't want to pick something. Do you have something in mind that you'd like for me to exhort on out of all those teachings? And just while I'm thinking about that, I get a phone call from a friend in South Carolina. And he says, he didn't even know I was in Canada. And he says, Gary, can you tell me what this verse means? And I said, well, which one is it? So you can turn to it. It's Matthew 19, verse 29. And, I could tell him what this verse means. And I remember a time when I did not know what this verse means, but I do now. Now, this is in the next 10 minutes, look at my watch, sorry. In the next 10 minutes or so, I'm going to give you a two-week seminar. Sue calls me the master of synopsis, and we'll see if that'll work easily. We could take 2 weeks to teach what you're going to receive in about 10 minutes. Now, I do have to leave out a lot of detail, but it will be complete. The teaching will be complete, and you'll see it. Now, there was a time when I did not know how to activate the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, that I was basically a subject of the TV preachers. You know, I mean, I figured they knew what they were doing. These were the men of God. They were on TV. Surely they wouldn't tell me anything wrong. And so I would just, whatever they said, that's what I would believe. Well, this verse is lifted out by itself. See, you've got to be delivered from snippet theology.
Yep.
What do you mean by snippet theology? Well, it's a real verse. I mean, it's not like it's not in there. But if you just snip it out like there's nothing around it, and then you snip that one out, and then you snip another one out, and then you snip two or three more, pretty soon you've got a sermon. And you can just make the Bible say anything you want to, you know. Well, the trouble is, if you're young in the Lord and you don't know any better, you don't know how to meditate the Word in whole images and that type of thing, well, you're really a can't, you know. One of my fathers in the faith said, well, just, you know, it's okay, just swallow the hay, spit out the sticks. That sounds really good, but it only works if you know what the sticks are. If you don't know, you just swallow it all, and that's what I did in these early days. So he was asking me about Matthew 19:29, and it's very familiar. It says, everyone, and it's red letters. You know, I remember the TV preachers. Now, this is not my words. These are the red letter words. These are the words of Jesus. And they are. And they'd go, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive, how much?
100-fold,
and shall inherit everlasting life. And they go, there it is. Right there in your Bible, from the lips of Jesus, you have an ironclad guarantee that anything you give into the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have it from the Son of God Himself, you will receive 100-fold in return. My wallet was the first one out. The first time I ever heard that, to be honest with you, on the way home, it was a camp meeting, on the way home, I stopped at Burkhart's Office Supplies in Tulsa, and I bought one of those accountant's ledgers. You ever seen one of those things? They're about this big, you know. And I brought that thing home, and I started going back through our checkbook. That's what the man said. Go back through my checkbook, about 5 years. On such and such date, put that in the one column, we gave to Zamazam $10 times 100, God owes me. And I'm that's what the man said. Is that not what the man said? And it sounds like he has scripture to back it up. I mean, I'm trying to believe this. I know, you know, they also right after that they said, now faith is acting on the word. You gotta give or it doesn't work, you know. Okay. Thank God for the days when I walked through the doors of the prayer center. And Pastor Dave Roberson started teaching us the laws of meditation. Now, what does that mean? That's where you ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You say, where does this subject begin? Where does this subject matter end? I don't want to just take a little something out of the middle. What's going on here? Now, notice verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Come on down into chapter 20 and look at verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Down here in verse 16, so the last shall be first, and the first. You reckon he's still continuing the same subject? Isn't that interesting? Well, if you read this parable, now see, this is where I don't have time. This is where I'm going to condense the 2 weeks. Most people are familiar. Let's read the first few verses to get you. What he's doing, he's illustrating something here. See, chapter 20, verse 1 says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into whose vineyard? Now notice that, into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And even about the 11th hour, I mean there's only 1 hour left in the workday, he went out and he found others standing idle, and he said unto them, why stand you here all the day idle? And they say unto him, no man has hired us. He said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall you receive. So when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, will call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, I mean, they're watching this. When the first came, they saw that those had only worked 1 hour. They got a penny. They said, well, we're going to get more. They supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, and they said, well, these last have wrought, but they've only worked 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine evil because I am good? And here's the verse. So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Now, in the context of the verse that we started with, the context, the way they teach that, those that give the most, they receive the biggest reward. This teaching flies in direct opposition to that. It's saying, no, it's not based on how much you give or how much you labor. The reward is the same to all. Isn't that interesting? I wonder what comes right before this verse, this verse 29. We saw what came after. Right here, I ought to. Anyway, I won't. What comes right before this is the rich young ruler. You remember the rich young ruler? We'll pick it up here in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things... Now notice this is a rich young ruler. What good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, they were still under the covenant of the law. Jesus had not been to the cross yet. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Well, the disciples were watching this. They're standing there. They're seeing this whole thing. Jesus, he talks to his disciples. He said, Verily I say unto you, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Well, who then can be saved? Jesus said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now at this juncture, you got to remember, these people are, they've grown up under the law. Under the law, if you keep the, you know, how many times have they taken you through Deuteronomy 28? Yes. If you obey that, you get blessed. If you disobey it, you're under a curse. That's the mindset of everybody. That's why this rich young ruler was so blessed. He grew up under that covenant. He had done his best to keep the law. Now we know nobody perfectly kept it. But how you did it, when you missed it, you brought the appropriate sacrifice, and in the eyes of the law, you're okay. So he had done his part. God had done his part. Blessed the man, made him exceedingly rich. He comes, he says, Well, now what more can I do? But Jesus is introducing him to a new covenant. This covenant is not based on works. This covenant is based on inheritance. In this covenant, you're not really working for the Lord. In this covenant, you're a son in your father's fields, laboring in his vineyard. And the agreement is, I will meet every need, every day. Peter didn't know that. He didn't know it yet. He didn't understand all these things. He said, Well, we followed everything. Look, don't you love Peter? He's not so holy as to not ask the question that we all want to know. You know? Hey, we left everything to follow you. What are we going to get out of it? Paraphrase. What are we going to get out of this deal? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. When Dave teaches this, he'd go, Well, that's fine for them. Well, I'm a Gentile. I'm not going to be on a judge in Israel. What am I going to get out of it? And that's where the verse is. That's verse 29. Now, if verse 29, that's our verse again, hundredfold return. If it means what it means with the way the TV preachers do it, you think that rich young ruler wouldn't have jumped on that with both feet? I mean, if he's interested in getting blessed for his service, that's the best deal in town. Everything I give, I'm going to get a hundredfold return. Man, he'd have been, where do I sign on the dotted line? I'm ready for that. But he understood what Jesus was saying. No, you're going to sell all that you have, give it away, then you come follow me. He's going, I'm not sure about this deal. What is the lesson of this whole? When you look at it all together, I'll tell you what the lesson is. You cannot serve God and mammon. If your own personal increase is your motivation for serving God, you're disqualified from the get-go. You'll be just like the rich young ruler. You'll make wrong decisions every time because it does not profit you personally. You've got to have the attitude, he has called, my father has called me to labor in his fields. Every time I give into an offering, what's the father, what's this all about? He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Every time I give, I'm laboring in his field. This isn't about my profit. This is about harvesting souls for the kingdom. And the hundredfold part, I know now exactly what it means. Back in 2003, I got to go minister in Africa for about 30 days. I'm 3 minutes over. I'm sorry. I got to go minister in Africa for about 30 days. It was going really well. And the man that invited me, he wasn't a multimillionaire, but he was a builder, pretty well off. And he has that South African Afrikaner's accent. Big barrel-chested man named Abraham. Good name. Everybody called him Bron. About halfway through it, he says, Getty, you must move to South Africa. We must have this message. I will build you a house. I will give you land. And you can live here in South Africa. And you just be part of our family. We must have this. And bring your wife and you can live. I said, but I have children. And I have grandchildren. He says, bring all of them. I will give them land. I will build them houses. That's what it means. When you go somewhere, listen, you go into India or anywhere. You go into a village and you get somebody's mother healed. You open blind eyes in the name of Jesus. You come preach. Listen, they're going to feed you. They're going to give you somewhere to sleep. You have made, if you win them to the Lord, you have made brothers. Sisters, their houses become your houses. Their lands become your lands. That's what it's all about. Then when you get to heaven, all of those people that were harvested because of your service in your father's fields, even if all you did was just give into an offering, you don't know where that money's going to reach. You don't know where these MP3s are going to wind up. Somewhere around the world, someone's going to hear this conference. I guarantee it. They're going to get saved. They're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to get healed. We're laboring in our father's field. So when you give tonight, it's not about your reward. Listen, you're his child. He says, you put my kingdom first. I will meet all of your needs. I know that you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. And that's the agreement. He'll meet every need. Amen? Amen. Amen.